Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Some of you I know have heard probably several sermons from this chapter on Zacchaeus. I gave a couple titles to this message: A Curious Sinner and a Seeking Savior, and Up a Tree on Purpose. You'll find out as you go along here that God put that man up a tree on purpose, and Christ is going to pass by that way. And that's what I want us to look at. But I'm going to read what the verses that I'm going to preach from this morning. Luke 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save, not try to save, but to save that which was lost. Now it says Zacchaeus was a publican. I don't know what you know about publicans, but I know this. A publican was one of the most hated people among the Jews. They despised the publicans. They were considered traitors. They were outcasts. They were the lowest of the low among them because they worked for the Roman government. They collected taxes. Nobody likes a tax collector. And they hated him. They hated publicans. They despised them. And sometimes these publicans would charge people more taxes than they should. And they'd even charge some of them, one writer said, with extortion, trying to get some more money out of them, trying to get bribe money out of them. So when we read that one was a publican, you know that he was usually, number one, a crook, and secondly, he was hated by everybody. They all despised him. And then it says here, that he was a rich man. Now, he was a rich man. Now this caught my attention because over here in chapter 18, look over in verse 18. In chapter 18, it says here, let me start in verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. This man came and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he told him to keep the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So he's a publican, a crook, despised of all, and he's a rich man. He's a rich man. And the Lord just told them that it was hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But he also said on down through there that all things are possible with God. They said, well, Lord, then who then can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are impossible. And here he proves it. He turns right around and he proves it. He proves it by saving a rich man. He demonstrates his power to save the crookedest of men and the richest of men at the same time. None is so bad that the Lord cannot save. He's able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. He's able to save. So he takes this crook who's very rich and makes him an object of his mercy. Demonstrates his grace and mercy upon him. Now, it's in verse 3, it says Zacchaeus was very curious here. Look here in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. No doubt he had heard something about him. No doubt he had heard of the miracles. He had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And he had heard that he was coming by that way. So he wanted to see who he was. He was curious to see Jesus, to see who he was. He had heard about him. He wanted to see what manner of man this was. Like the disciples said when he calmed the sea and the wind, they said, "What manner of man is this?" And no doubt Zacchaeus, from the things he had heard, he said, what manner of man, what kind of man is this that raises the dead and heals the sick and the lame and the blind? I gotta see who this is. He wanted to see who it was, what manner of man he was. Listen here, the Spirit of God will create an interest in the heart of his elect to seek out Christ, even if it's just out of curiosity at first. Some people may have just came here, they may have just heard something about the church here, or just heard something about the gospel that's preached here, and they may have just came wanting to see what's going on. They want to see, well, what is going on up there? What is being preached up there? That's what they wanted to see. But listen, despise not, the scripture said, despise not the day of small things. Zacchaeus, he didn't know. Little did he realize at that time that the Spirit of God was moving him to go where, and meet Christ. To be where Christ was, and the Savior and the sinner are going to meet. He didn't realize that at all. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. He always works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. And then it says in verse 3 that he was little of stature. Now, I'm not straining at a gnat here. I don't think anything's by chance. I do not believe that anything just happens. Zacchaeus, it says here, he was little of stature. He was not a big man. He was little. Therefore, he had to climb up a tree to see who the Lord was because he was to pass by that way. So he couldn't see him for the press. Everybody was taller than him. So he has to go and climb up in this tree and wait there until the Lord passes by that way. That's no accident. That's his shortness of stature is no accident. That tree being planted there is no accident. And I'm not straining at a point here. It was no accident. No accident at all. Zacchaeus' shortness of stature in that tree was no accident. The Lord was purposely, He was purposely going to cross his path. And he was going to hold him up there in that tree until he crossed that pass that way. He was going to hold him right there until it was time for him to pass by him. Until it was time for this sinner to meet the Savior. The Lord will use whatever means that He has purposed to use to keep His people until it's time for them to meet Christ. Whatever it may be, He'll keep them until it's time for them to meet their Master, their Lord. And I assure you this, that our meeting of Christ, our hearing of the gospel will not be by chance. It will not be by an accident. It will be on purpose. You'll hear the gospel. When God has purpose for you to hear Christ, to meet Christ, it'll be on purpose. It will not be by chance. It'll be by purpose. And He'll see to it by His providential dealings that our paths cross at the appointed time. The scripture said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to be born into this life, And for the believer, there is a time to be born again. And when that time happens, when that time comes, then God providentially brings it all to a head, as He does right here with Zacchaeus. He providentially guides and directs the path of His sheep all the way. All the way. Little did Zacchaeus know, little did he know that he was up that tree on purpose. He didn't know that. Christ knew that. Christ standing over in that crowd knew there was Zacchaeus over in that tree. Just like it was Philip, he said, I saw you under the tree before you ever came here. I saw you long before you ever came here. And little do we realize that the things that befall us are for the purpose of bringing us to Christ. And the things that befall us now, even after believing on Christ, after believing the gospel, the things that befall us now is for the purpose of conforming us to the image of Christ. I don't care what it is, whether it be the loss of a job or a heartache or what it may be. It's for the purpose of forming us and creating us and making us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing us to know more of Him. More of Him. That Ethiopian eunuch, riding back home. He'd been up to Jerusalem. Some people would think that he accidentally got a hold of the book of Isaiah. God purposely brought that man up there. He had heard of him, and he went up there to find out something about this God that he had heard of. Somehow he had heard of him. He went up there to find out. When he was up there, he didn't find out anything. But he did get a hold of Isaiah 53. And on his way back, he was reading. And the Spirit of God, it says, sent Philip down there. And he walked up by the chariot. You know, he'd go over by the chariot. He didn't jump up on the chariot and say, do you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? He didn't try to drag a decision out of him. He just walked along and asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I accept some man teach me or show me? And he got up in the chariot and took the scriptures and preached Christ to him. That was not by accident. That was not by chance. God brought that to a head on purpose at the appointed time. And I'm sure many of you can give a good account of how the Lord brought you here to hear the gospel. I remember I was attending a church that did not preach the gospel. And I decided not to go that morning. I went over to my parents' house. And there my dad was sitting watching Henry on television. He said, this man's preaching the gospel. And I sat down there and listened to it. And the next Sunday I stayed home and sat down and listened to it again. And the next thing I knew, I was going down there listening to it. And the Lord taught me the gospel. It was no accident that I got up and decided, well, I'm just going to go there today. I heard the gospel on purpose. God does not save men by accidental meetings. It's always on purpose. Look over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 9 it says, who has saved us, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has saved us according to His own purpose and grace, and that was given to us in Christ before the world began, He says. Never by accident. No one here has heard the gospel by chance. God has crossed your path on purpose. He's crossed your path on purpose. Now it says in verse 4, when Jesus came to the place, you see, if we are to be saved, He will first have to come to us. Salvation is not me going to Christ, it's Christ coming to me and giving me life. Life from the dead. Dead people don't go anywhere. Dead people don't go in. Dead people don't speak. Dead people don't walk. Spiritually, dead people don't do anything. Christ must first come to us. He must come to where we are. He must come to where we live. and save us and call us by His grace. He's got to come to us. And this is why He had to come into this world of sin and iniquity. He had to come to the place. Now, He had to come to the place where the offense occurred. He had to come to the place where the law was broken. That's where He had to come to, the place where the law was broken. It wasn't broken in heaven, it was broken on earth. And He had to come to the place, and He had to come to the place where you and I were condemned and get us. He had to come to where we are and get us, take us out of the way of God's wrath and stand in our place. He had to come as our representative and keep the law that we had broken. He had to magnify, Christ had to magnify the law and make it honorable in our place. Jesus Christ magnified the law and He made it honorable in my place, representing me, impersonating me. As far as the law of God's concerned, I've magnified it and made it honorable in my substitute, in my representative. That I did in Christ. He had to come and provide us with a righteousness to cover our nakedness. He had to come and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. He had to come and die in our place. He had to. He had to. You know, whenever He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He's saying, "Father, if it be possible, for Thine elect to be saved any other way, let this cup pass from me." It didn't pass. That was the only way it could have happened. That was the only way we could be saved. He had to come and take my place in God's, before God's law. He had to take my place in order to free me from the curse. In order to free me from condemnation, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Why? Because He took my place of condemnation. He died in my place. Christ took our place. And now He's gone to prepare a place. That's what He said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place of acceptance," is what He's gone to prepare. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again for you. After I've prepared a place, I'll come and get you." That's what He's saying. And beside all this, had He not come to the place to get us, we would have never and could have never gone to Him. It could have never happened. It could have never happened. And then in verse 4, after coming to the place, the ordained place for Him to meet, then it says He looked up. He looked up. My, what grace. What grace and mercy here. That He looked up. That the Lord of glory, God Almighty, should look up upon such a sinner as we are. Here's the sense of it. Here's the sense of it. He looked upon Zacchaeus in mercy and grace. That's what... When He looked upon him, He looked upon him in mercy and grace. He looked upon him in love. This is His. This is one of the sheep that He came to save. This is one of the sheep that He came to die for. And He looked upon him in mercy and grace. Here's a sinner who has found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and this grace was unasked for and unsought for. Unasked for and unsought for. I wasn't out looking for Him. He's looking for me. He calls me to look to Him. He calls me to seek Him after He had dealt with me, after He had found me. Unasked for and unsought after. Christ looked upon Him in love and tenderness, just as He has many of us. Just as He has many of us. There was a lot of people around Him whom he could have called. There was a lot of them standing around Him. But He called Zacchaeus because he was the object of His love, the object of His mercy, the object of His grace. That's who He called. He could have looked upon many others besides you and me. But He chose us. Those of you who believe the gospel, He chose us. He chose us. He always looks upon the object of His love. And I tell you this, listen, Christ looked upon him long before this. He looked upon Zacchaeus long before this. He looked upon him back in eternity before the world was ever created. He looked upon him in the covenant of mercy, in that covenant of grace. And if Christ looks upon us now, if he looks upon me in mercy, and if he looks upon me in grace, it's because he already did back in eternity past, before God ever created this world. He had already looked upon me. I was an object of his love. I wasn't someone he just happened to see and said, well, I like him. He looked upon me before this world was ever created. I was an object of his love way back then, way back then. And then he gives here an effectual call. Now, here's an effectual call. There's no pleading going on here. You won't hear one bit of pleading going on here. He spoke to him as he does all his sheep when he calls them. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They follow me. When he speaks, I tell you this, when our Lord speaks, something happens. Something happens. Now, the Jesus that's being preached in most pulpits, he can speak all he wants to and nothing's going to happen. But when the Lord of glory, when Jesus Christ, God Almighty, speaks, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. When he walks up to that grave of Lazarus and he says, Lazarus, come out of there. Lazarus is going to come out of there. You don't have to stand there begging to come out. He's coming out. Now, when he speaks, something's going to happen. And he spoke to him, and he spoke to him personally. He called him by name. He called him by name just like he did Lazarus and just like he did Samuel. He called him by name. And note what he says to him. Make haste, hurry up, and get down here. He says, Lazarus, hurry up and come down. Well, it's not only an effectual call, it's a humbling call. You're going to come down. The first thing a sinner experiences when God effectually calls him is coming down. We think so highly of ourselves. We think we're something else. And God has to call us down first. We must come down. He says to him, make haste and come down. The sooner we fall at his feet, the sooner we will enjoy his salvation. I tell you, it's a shame we take so long in coming down. If only a sinner knew what awaited him. Full salvation, full pardon, full justification, when we fall down at his feet. That's what awaits us. Life eternal. That's what awaits us. But the sense that I get out of this is this. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You come down now. Today is your salvation. Today, he says, is your salvation. He's not going to hang around for us to make up our minds. He's not inviting, listen, he is not inviting him to come down. He's telling him to come down. It's a command to come down. And he's not waiting around for us to discuss. There's no debate going on here either. There's no debate at all. I remember the place I used to attend. I mean, we'd literally drag people down the aisle. At the end of the service, the preacher would give the altar call, and they had an altar up front. And people, you could see them go out of their seats, and they'd go back there and talk to this one, and then before you know it, here they'd get them up. If the gospel is preached, God gives an effectual call. The best thing we can do is stand out of the way because they're coming. Just like that woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years she had that issue of blood. That woman was so weak. I mean, she was so weak she couldn't even get out of her house. But when she heard of Christ, when she knew that this man could save her, she made her way, that weak old woman, made her way through that crowd. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And it says in Mark, she kept saying within herself, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him. If I can just get to him, it's going to be all right. When God calls a sinner, just move out of the way. Because he's coming. He's coming. I know this. I would rather be brought down by grace now than by sin at the judgment. And then verse 4, here's the purpose of coming down now. Today, I must abide at thy house. Here's the purpose. Today, I must abide at thy house. When the Lord saves a man, he saves him. He saves him. When it is the decreed time for him to manifest himself to a sinner, he'll do it now. It'll be today. When it's that decreed time. And brethren, here's the salvation. Listen, here's the salvation. I must abide at thy house. There's the salvation. We read it in Colossians. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ said, I must abide at thy house. Salvation is not Christ in our presence. It's not Christ in our presence. Salvation is not Christ in the crowd. Salvation is Christ in you. That's salvation. It's not in my presence. It's not in the crowd. It's in me. It's in me. Christ is in our presence now in his word as I'm preaching. He's in our presence. Christ is in the gospel that we preach. Christ is in his word, but unless he's in you, you're lost. Unless he's in you, you're lost. And note Zacchaeus' reaction here in verse 6. He made haste. He made haste. When the Lord gives an effectual call, his people are made willing in the day of his power. He's willing to come down. He hurried up and got down. He hurried up and came down. And it says that he received him joyfully. He was glad to receive him. I'm telling you, sinners whom the Lord has given life to are glad to receive him. They are glad to bow at his feet. They're glad to bow at his feet. They're glad to sit at his feet. Glad to sit at his feet. This is different than the way the Pharisees received him. Remember Simon? He went to Simon's house. He didn't even give him the common courtesies that he gave to those who came to his house. Didn't he give him the common courtesies? But this sinner was glad to receive it. And you know what the reaction of the people was there in verse 7? They murmured. They murmured and complained. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I wish you hadn't got saved. That was before I was. He didn't even know the difference. That was back when I was just religious. It was a friend of mine that I went to school with. But they murmured. They murmured here, it says. They said, of all the people he could have gone home and eaten with, he chose a sinner. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. What they're saying here, Stan, is all the people that he could have gone home with today, he goes home with Stan. Yes, that's what he's saying. They said, he's going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. That's the only place where he's welcome. That's the only place he's welcome. Is the home, the heart of a sinner. Only place he's welcome. Those self-righteous Pharisees didn't welcome him. Religious people are the meanest people this side of hell. They are. They're mean. They're mean. Only a sinner can appreciate and love Christ. All others despise him. All others despise him. It was for sinners that he came. It was for sinners that he died. And it is sinners whom he eats with and fellowships with. That's it. That's sinners. In verse 8, Zacchaeus was so overwhelmed that he became a giver instead of a taker. He was so overwhelmed here that he became a giver instead of a taker. Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. My, what grace does for a person. What grace does for a person. The taker now becomes the giver. And he says, I'm going to give to the poor, those who can't give back to me, those who I can't receive anything from. The giver becomes the taker, or the taker becomes the giver. And I tell you this, we have never given in proportion as he's given to us. He says, Lord, I give half of my goods. You could give all your goods and never outgive what he's given to us in Christ. Never. Never. And then in verse 9, our Lord confirms the blessing. He says, This day is salvation come into this house. This day is salvation come into this house. Here's the sense of it. Where Christ is, salvation is, because he's salvation. Salvation is not just something he gives me, it's him. It's him. He is salvation. And he confirms in verse 9, he confirms that Zacchaeus is a promised seed of Abraham. Who would have believed that? And Jesus said unto them, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. He is a spiritual son of Abraham, is what he's saying. He's one of those I came after. He's one of the sheep. Because you notice he says there in verse 10, and I close, Well, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He gives the reason or the purpose of his mission here. He says, I came to seek and to save the lost. Just like when he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, those disciples did not know what he's talking about. They had no understanding of why he had to go through Samaria. There was a sheep there. There was a woman at the well that was going to be there at that appointed time, and he's going to get her. He came after his sheep. Now, he came on a mission. He didn't come down here in an attempt to save anybody. He came down here to save. That's what he says. Notice there, he came to seek and to save. He will not stop until that last sheep is brought home. When he brings that last sheep into the fold, then it'll be over. But until then, he's going to seek and save that which was lost. Okay, Joe, you have a closing song?
Thinking the sun's not shining bright on the outside, but the sun of our holy and sovereign God is shining in this place. And I'm very thankful for that this morning through his servant, and I appreciate it. It's been a blessing to be here. Let's stand and sing number 187, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth stanza, 187. Remember the service at 6 o'clock this afternoon. 6 o'clock.